allow Governor Romney to win the state of Pennsylvania. Done.
Taking care of business, making sure that those people don't get the vote. And our quote of the day comes from Ohio Senator Sherrod Brown, who was asked about, you know, what's going on in Georgia. And he points out, he says, quote, if Stacey Abrams doesn't win in Georgia, they stole it, the Republicans. He said it's clear. He was talking to a group, the National Action Network, at their summit in Washington, D.C., this morning, and Brown said, look, Republicans can't win elections because there are way more of us than there are of them. Simple math. He goes on to say they can't win elections fairly. They win elections by redistricting and reapportionment and voter suppression and all the ways they try to scare people, particularly people of color. And you know, I've been saying this for years. I mean, you had Mike Terzai, Speaker of the House here in Pennsylvania. Voter ID, done. Why? So Romney would win. That was the only reason. And at the end of it, you go through the trial here in Pennsylvania, and the state even admitted there had never been a case that they could find that the law that they passed would have stopped any voter fraud. They admitted it would have solved nothing, but they wanted to do it anyway. And why? To make sure those people don't get the vote. And, you know, now, you know, that the Democrats have taken back the House, the hope is we start looking at what we've done in the world of voter suppression, and gerrymandering being one of the big points. Here in Pennsylvania, our state Supreme Court said, you know what, this map you've drawn, it's got to go. And they redrew another map. If you remember, the last election cycle, of the 18 congressional districts here in the state, only 5 were won by Democrats. This last election, it's been a 9-9 split when the maps were drawn fairly. But I look at North Carolina, they haven't redrawn their maps, just as bizarrely gerrymandered as ours were, maybe even a little worse, and still the same negative outcome, which is why I have asked Bob Phillips, he's the executive director of Common Cause North Carolina, to come talk with us. They have filed suit against the gerrymandering there in North Carolina. Bob, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you. Great to be with you.
So, you know, I look at this and, you know, your map's just as crazy looking as ours were. Yet we, like I said, you know, our state Supreme Court, you know, kind of fixed it. We have some fairness, I guess, here now. You guys, not so much.
Not at all, Rick. You know, you're talking to someone down here in the heart of college basketball country. We like to think of ourselves as number one in that. But unfortunately, we're number one in gerrymandering, and we've always had that distinction. We, Common Cause, are now trying to, through litigation, kind of push the envelope, like you all did in Pennsylvania. The challenge that we have filed yesterday is going to be through our state constitution, and we're hoping to finally get some relief.
Now, you guys have been fighting this battle for a while. I mean, you look at some of the districting and you know, some of the, you know, the intent behind it was to put, you know, we're going to put all the people of color in one district and all the white people in a different district. And I guess that's okay.
You know, for the lawmakers, they did use race with, as the judgment said, with surgical precision to craft these racially gerrymandered both congressional and legislative districts. We have 13 congressional districts down here in North Carolina, and the same outcome of 10 Republicans and 3 Democrats, which we've had the entire decade when they gerrymandered after the 2010 election. And what we had happen on Tuesday was Democrats got about half the vote and wound up with about 23% of the seats regarding our congressional delegation. And you know, just way out of whack of really what North Carolina is, a purple state.
And the thing that I keep talking about, and the reason that I think having competitive, you know, look, I'm not totally against gerrymandering as long as we're doing it for competitive purposes. I would love to see 50-50 districts everywhere So you start, you know, fighting over actual ideas and how to make people's lives better. And that instead of, you know, like here in where I lived in Pennsylvania, it was a 65-35 district. The Republicans were always going to win. It didn't matter what happened. So voting wasn't really a choice here. It was more of a protest. But now that, you know, they've ungerrymandered our district, it was a 50-50 race here. So voting actually meant something. And you had people actually talking about issues, which I think is really the important discussion we need to be having.
Absolutely. That's one thing, gerrymandering, aside from it just simply rigging elections. It denies the voters a voice or a choice on election day, we always say. And, you know, it really, and this is what Common Cause fundamentally, our mission is, holding power accountable. It's difficult for folks, the voters, to hold the electeds accountable when these folks are running without competition. One of the things I do is lobby the North Carolina legislature here, not always very effective in recent years since much of what we have lobbied for hasn't really been accomplished. But at the same time, members from both sides of the aisle have told me informally, we don't really have to worry too much about anything here, just as long as we don't run afoul of the base, meaning if you're a Republican, you don't want to track in the center, and same thing with a Democrat. And this is just what contributes to the toxic partisan divide we have.
No, I would argue it's what's caused it. I mean, if you are completely safe in your district and your only concern, especially for Republicans, and I've spoken to a number of Republican legislators over the last several years who have said, look, you know, I would love to move a little bit more to the center. I would love to move a little bit, you know, because we want to make sure that, you know, that granny gets meals on wheels. We want to make sure, you know, that kids get better educational opportunities. We want to make sure people get health care. But if I do those things, I'm going to get a challenge from the extreme right. These Tea Party people are going to come and just wipe me out. And that's been a huge problem, especially in a state like Pennsylvania, where you did have some really crazy looking districts.
Indeed, and the same here with both our legislative and congressional maps. What's exciting for us, Rick, in terms of this latest filing that we made yesterday, is we have the same law firm out of Washington, D.C., that represented the plaintiffs in Pennsylvania. They are going to be representing us, so we feel good about that. And our hope is that we can prevail, have our case tried and resolved within the next calendar year so we can have new legislative maps for the 2020 election, just like Pennsylvania got new congressional maps for last week's election.
Now, this is in your state Supreme Court. This isn't a federal court, right?
Correct. It is our state Supreme Court. We do have, and that is with our state legislative maps, we do, however, have another litigation on a partisan gerrymandering claim that is in the federal court. We've won twice here in the federal court here in North Carolina. It is currently going back to the U.S. Supreme Court. We expect to have our date sometime in early 2019. And it's a strong case, but with the complexion of the U.S. Supreme Court, who knows? And we feel much more confident with our legislative challenge going forward here in our state state Supreme Court.
Yeah, because I was going to say, you know, I look at our Supreme Court, you know, the U.S. Supreme Court, and I don't know that there's much relief there for sanity, in my view. I just don't think there's much hope there.
I agree, and you know, I don't know whether Pennsylvania, North Carolina is not a ballot initiative state. In other words, we can't have enough signatures and get something on the ballot. But I was heartened to see that four states, Missouri, Colorado, Utah, and Michigan had redistricting on the ballot, and at least and Missouri and Utah certainly are red states, and I believe it passed, I know, in three of the four states. I think Utah, it's very close. Maybe they're still counting. But it just speaks to, Rick, what I think you were alluding to earlier. Many Republicans, they know that this is bad and that even though if it's a Republican gerrymander, and certainly many of their constituents know, it's not fair and it's not right. And ultimately, you know, it could come back to bite them.
Yep.
When power shift.
Yeah, the sword cuts both ways, obviously. You're listening to the Rick Smith Show. We're with Bob Phillips. He's the executive director of Common Cause North Carolina. They filed a lawsuit against the gerrymandering there in the state of North Carolina. You know, it comes back to this premise of fairness. And, you know, I hope we're still a society that believes in fairness, even if the truth is on life support. You know, this idea that we, the voters, we, the people, get to choose our representatives instead of kind of the other way around, which is what gerrymandering does. I mean, if you look at the exacting measures that they use to choose these districts, and then dream them up, it's quite amazing that they literally cut through neighborhoods to choose which voters that they want voting for them. It's pretty remarkable.
It is. That's the aspect of technology. I mean, we think about the cell phones we have in our hands today and what we had even in our hands, say, 5 years ago and 10 years ago, and just how technologically advanced those things are. And it's the same kind of technology, the tools that these folks have to, again, like you say, cut those maps into the neighborhoods. Here in North Carolina, we have one of our universities here called North Carolina A&T. It's a historic black university. In mm-hmm. fact, it's the largest historic black university in the nation, alma mater of Jesse Jackson, just for a point of reference.
Down but there in Greensboro.
In Greensboro, that's correct. When they came out with a new maps that we voted on last week, that university and the community around it is cut right in half. And the university, the line literally goes right down the middle of the campus. You have residence halls in one district, and then across the street, residence halls in another. Just crazy. The one thing you don't want to do is cut in half communities of interest. And in this case, they've done it right on a college campus, an African-American college campus at that.
Yeah, we were down in Greensboro a couple of years ago. You know, we had done a civil rights tour, took us through there. And the A&T 4 was one of the things we talked about. And there's the Woolworths, where the counter was, there's now a civil rights museum that we had an interesting tour of and had an opportunity to meet with the people who run that. But, you know, as you pointed out, to cut through, especially there, I mean, the historic, you know, nature of that is really symbolic more than ever anything, I think.
It is, and what they did is by diluting the African-American vote, they sort of guaranteed two congressional districts in their pocket, and the 13th congressional district, which is on one half of North Carolina's North Carolina A&T campus, that was a district that was actually kind of in play this round, and yet when the election results, you know, and they were all in, again, the Republicans held on to it. We sort of say that even with the blue tide, and we had one in North Carolina, there was a blue tide down here, the gerrymandered seawall, that tide did not breach it. It still could not overcome that, and it kind of makes our case in terms of what we're trying to say, that gerrymandering locks these folks in, and nothing can really overtake it.
Yeah, and it's not just you in North Carolina. I mean, across the country, there are a number of places where the blue wave, you know, happened. Just not, you know, had this firewall of these highly gerrymandered districts. So let me ask you. I mean, you filed this lawsuit. What are you hoping the state Supreme Court does? Are you hoping that they, you know, they come back and do like ours did? You know, make the Republicans go back and redraw it again. And if they don't like it, redraw their own maps. What are you hoping for?
Just exactly what you said. My hope would be maybe they would just decide to draw the maps themselves, perhaps using a special master to do it. I don't know whether I would trust the legislature, though we have a different legislature. The majority party, Republicans, still control it, but not with the supermajorities that they had here prior to the election day. But that is what we hope, that we will find that kind of relief. And although I'm a nonpartisan, we're a nonpartisan organization, perhaps like Pennsylvania, I think I should know this, but we elect our statewide judges. The folks who serve on our state Supreme Court actually run statewide and are elected, and they are partisan races. We had once had those to be nonpartisan, but our current state Supreme Court has 7 members, and it is comprised of 5 Democrats and 2 Republicans. With my nonpartisan hat on, I'll say I like our chances in that court versus taking this in the federal court and going up to the U.S. Supreme Court.
Yeah, the almost the exact same dynamics here in Pennsylvania, only here it's 4-3.
I see.
So let me ask you, because, ultimately, I think every voter wants their vote to count. I think we believe in fairness. I think, we want, competitive districts. Putting this suit aside and your, whatever aside, is there a model, a way forward, not just for North Carolina, but for the entire country? Because at some point, I'm looking at what's going on, and I'm saying, a lot of states don't have the ability to run these elections fairly. And at some point, we need federal oversight to hold them accountable. I mean, I'm looking at Georgia, which, I'm hoping there are going to be mass investigations into the criminal conduct that went on, criminal conduct that went on down there. But, is there some way forward on this gerrymandering to where we have like a national standard?
Well, the hope would be that we could get that, and we could even see something as early as the June 30th term ending by the U.S. Supreme Court if our it's called Common Cause v. Rucho. If that case were to prevail, that could put in some standards that could be far-reaching. But to your point, Rick, that's exactly what we do need. Ultimately, the courts can go only so far. At least in North Carolina, we would have to have, and I think in most other states, the legislative also coming in and providing the framework of two things. One, who draws the map? Is it the lawmakers? We don't think it should be. There's the soundbite that says lawmakers should not be choosing their voters or drawing their own districts. The other is, what are the rules? And first and foremost, among, abiding in North Carolina, we are what's called a Voting Rights Act state, so we must abide by that, and equal population in the districts. But the biggie for us, too, is no partisan politics at all in the process. And I guess that was the basis of, how you all change the maps in Pennsylvania. But if those could be standardized at the national level, that would be a good thing.
Yeah. You got to do something, because it's really obnoxious and really out of hand. And the hope is that the Democrats who have now taken the House, this is the first issue they should be hammering on. But good on you guys down there in North Carolina. Good on Common Cause for moving this forward. And as it continues down the road, I'd love to have you come back and keep us updated on what's going on.
Would be happy to do so, Rick. It's really good talking with you, and particularly, again, since our suit, really, we look to you guys, the Keystone State, Pennsylvania, in terms of what you all accomplished and what that litigation there from year before last accomplished. So thank you, and I look forward to chatting with you again.
Good stuff. Thanks so much. I appreciate it. Bob Phillips, he is the executive director of Common Cause North Carolina. Look, at the end of the day, I think we all can agree. We don't want them picking us. We want to choose them. Simple stuff. Quick break right back after this. Stick around. Listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.